Hello, my soul-seeking friends. It's Shanna. Thank you so much for listening to Sense of Soul podcast, enlightening conversations with like-minded souls from around the world, sharing their journey of finding their light within, turning pain into purpose, and awakening to their true sense of soul. If you like what you hear, show me some love and rate, like, and subscribe. And consider becoming a Sense of Soul Patreon member, where you will get ad-free episodes, monthly circles, and much more. Now go grab your coffee, open your mind, heart, and soul. It's time to awaken.
Another blood-red sunset and yet another moon facing, still another 100 miles to my next resting place. Driving down the road, eyes on the horizon, within my car I'm all alone, but feeling good and feeling strong, knowing that this path I'm on brings me to myself. I'm driving.
Wow, what a beautiful voice. And today on Sense of Soul, I have that beautiful voice with us, Kelly Sparta, aka the Spirit Doctor. Kelly is no stranger to Sense of Soul. You may have heard her on many previous episodes in our quarterly Sense of Soul special episode called Kicking It with Kelly. She's a transformational spiritual teacher, the podcast host of the Spirit Sherpa. She's an executive coach for spiritual-minded CEOs, business owners, coaches, and serious spiritual seekers. Kelly herself is a lifelong entrepreneur, a master of manifestation. She brings no-nonsense wisdom and insight. And definitely go check out Kelly's website, kellysparta.com, where she offers courses, classes, workshops, free meditations. And also, I've heard she's got a retreat coming up soon, so go check it out. Kelly is also an affiliate of Sense of Soul and also part of the Ethereal Network with me, a group of spiritual podcasts who all share the same desire, and that is to raise the consciousness of humanity on the planet. But for now, please welcome my friend, Kelly Sparta. Hello.
Hey, lady. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good.
What are you up to?
Oh, what am I not up to?
I know. So, you're just like me.
I know, right? My latest thing is that, so I've got two new offerings that are out right now. The spiritual coach certification.
Mm-hmm. Love
and
that.
And where I'm teaching people how to teach my Welcome to the Woo program, mm-hmm. which used to be the Inner Peace program. Mm-hmm. And I also partner with them. I do all the back end stuff for them. So okay. I give them all the marketing, do all the things, do all the onboarding, do all the systems, do all the newsletters, do everything, right? So all they have to do is market, sell, and deliver. The other thing I'm doing is the Ascend Elevate program.
Okay.
And I'm doing a once a month program for spiritual entrepreneurs, people who are doing psychic medium reading, you know, energy nice. Healing, all of that, teaching, coaching, specifically for those people. And it's once a month we do an event. It may be a day, it may be 5 days and 3 days. That depends on how much I need to get the topic done. And so I'm doing a year-long program of that. We're 2 months in right now. And so we're going to be rolling out a new one every single month for the next, actually 11 months, because I'm using the first one as a trial giveaway for people.
Yeah.
And so that one's $97 a month or $497 for the year.
Wow.
Right?
Wait.
Good deal.
But Kelly Sparta, what? That is.
I needed to help people. I needed to do it.
We're at desperate times, okay?
I'm just like, I'm so tired of seeing people struggling.
Mm.
And, you know, it's so ridiculously expensive to do anything else. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I love that. So I was listening to some of your episodes on Spirit Sherpa, and I was listening to the remote travel or the remote viewing one. I thought that was very interesting. I liked how you guys got into it because, you know, sometimes we think that kind of like when someone does like your Akashic records, you think it's like they're an Akashic reader, like only they do it. But like, we're like tapping into our Akashic all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, everything's out there to be had. I mean, nothing is exclusive to one person, or, you know, you can't get it or whatever. There are so many layers to the energetic world and so many different aspects to it. I just finished recording an episode on ascended masters and master numbers and all that stuff too. You know, there are different entities and there are different energies and there are different aspects of the astral that you can tap into, and they're infinite, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you listened to the episode on what is reality.
No, I didn't get a chance.
So I'm getting a lot of feedback on that one. Holy crap. So basically we were talking about the nature of reality and what reality is. And the holy crap thing that they were coming back to me about is that in the episode, I actually opted out of reality for a moment.
Whoa.
And I shifted my energy into multidimensional space and out of physical reality. And so while you could still see me, Jewel, my co-host, was saying, you were like,
gone.
Not, she said, you were vibrating when you made the shift, and then you stopped vibrating when you came back. And it was like, well, that's cool. I haven't gone back and looked at the video, so I don't know. but she was looking at me on video going, oh my God. And I've had other listeners who were like, I could feel you, and then you weren't there, and then you were back. It was so weird.
Where were you going? Were you conscious to it, or were you not?
Oh, yeah. No, I did it on purpose. You know, because we're talking about what is the nature of reality, and, you know, do you have to be here, and can you opt out? And, you know, there are ways that you can use opting out of reality as a way to manifest, because you can opt out, then you can opt into the next reality that actually is on track for what it is that you're choosing, right? So because we have, if you assume that there are never-ending branching infinite realities, and, you know, if you follow the Mandela effect, you know that we shift realities pretty regularly around here, then, you know, does it really matter if you shift back into another one that's just slightly better for what you're looking for, or significantly better for what you're looking for? But it is not a beginner skill. There's a reason I waited 5+ years to talk about it. And it's because it is effectively going across the abyss in the tree of life in Kabbalah, right? So you can either go up the right side or the left side of the tree of life to get to Keter at the top. But if you go across the middle, it's a shortcut, but you go through the abyss. You cease to exist, and then you call yourself back into being. This is why it is not a beginner skill, because you have to really know your energetic vibration and be able to call it back into being when you go into the abyss, right? Because you cease to, that's what I did on the podcast, is I ceased to exist, and then I called myself back into being. Okay. It is not a beginner skill.
Okay. Wait a second. But I mean, not a beginner skill, but those of us who have ADHD maybe unconsciously have been doing that for a long time. In fact, I even said to Kensley, was it just yesterday? She got home from school and she's sitting there like, I mean, gone. And I was like, hello, what's wrong? And she goes, I'm spaced out right now. And I was like, oh, okay, we'll come back here. I was going to ask you a question. Yeah.
Spaced out and ceasing to exist, two different things. Spaced out is I've left my body a little bit.
Okay.
This is my energy has ceased to exist on this plane.
Okay. Intentionally, okay. When done control in a controlled way.
Yeah. So it's a different thing. You know, when you space out, which we've all done, there's a coming up and out of your body, or your brain fuzzes, or you know, there's a whole bunch of different ways that it happens. None of which are the thing that I'm talking about.
Okay.
Now. When you're ceasing to exist, when you're shifting into multidimensional space, you're becoming multidimensional and therefore ceasing to exist in the duality of our physical reality, right? Mm-hmm. Then that is an entirely different thing. It's not a head-based thing. It is a energy-based thing.
Well, okay. So I've experienced this with a few of my clients. So specifically, I can remember all of them because it all happened. And actually, you know what? To be honest with you, I think both of them were men. I think it might have happened with a girl too. But it happened with them a few times. And this is how I learned what was going on. I'd be doing Reiki on them. And all of a sudden, they're not there. Their energy is no longer there. I'm like, where to go? Like, their field of energy is missing. And then towards the end of the session again, and I'm calling them back in, and now they're back. And I always was like, where'd you go? Like, they knew it too. And they usually were going off planet, to be very honest with you, is what they would describe.
That's fascinating. So, yeah, I haven't had that experience, so I can't speak to.
But I mean, if someone was doing energy work on you and you were doing that, I mean, would they like notice? Holy shit.
Oh, certainly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, all day long they'd notice. Yeah, there'd be no way not to notice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling into the off-planet thing. It feels related, but not exactly the same. So it feels like it's almost like a teleporter. So you can shift your energy into another planet to be like specifically someplace else. What I did was to be everywhere else at once and nowhere at the same time.
So jeez, what a mind fuck. Okay.
It's slightly the same, but slightly different, right?
There's no words for this kind of stuff.
I do my best.
In the English language.
Yeah. So it's you're literally, you're in all space at once, and yet you're nowhere in this reality.
Oh, you're in the void and the fullness.
Yeah, sort of. Well, you're insubstantial everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, to be in the void and the fullness is to be. And in this case, you're not being.
You're not even being. Okay.
Yeah. You're not being. You're just.
Wow. You really did climb up that tree of life then.
Yeah.
Like one with the cosmos.
You want to know the really funny thing?
What?
I've never done it before the podcast. Didn't know how to do it. No one told me how. I just knew I could. I was like, oh, yeah, let me do this right now. Boom. Done. Right.
Oh, my gosh. Are you releasing the video?
Yeah, the video on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay, because I want to see it. And I'm going to attach it to this episode, too.
Yeah, I had never done it before. And it took me a minute to figure out how to bring myself back, too. I was like, wait a minute.
What were you doing over there?
No, I was just, I literally was like maybe 30 seconds to a minute and a half.
Time was weird, I bet.
Yeah. Oddly, I still had a connection to time. I was still talking. So I was still tethered to this space, but my energy, I don't know. How do I explain that? I was tethered to the space. I could track the passage of time. I could talk. I could identify what needed to be done. I still had thought, right? So it was a bilocation. Okay, so this is the best way to say this, right? So in energy work, we talk about bilocation a lot. And the idea is that you are both doing the thing and watching yourself do the thing, right? And so the part of me that was talking and tracking time and aware of what I was doing was watching me do the thing. Mm-hmm. And the doing part of me was insubstantial, you know, spread across time and space, you know, the whole thing.
I gotcha. It's just like when I'm being the facilitator in a session, I'm really trying to be out of that ego mind and stuff. I'm trying to be in the session and being led, but yet I still do have a concept of time and awareness outside of me as well.
Exactly.
It's a weird space.
Same idea. Yeah. Yeah. You learn to dance it pretty efficiently over time, but yeah.
It's like multitasking.
Yes, exactly. I've been doing this for 25 years. So at this point, you know, bilocation is second nature. So.
Yeah. But going into that space and being a part of oneness like that, you're vibrating?
Evidently.
All right. I can't wait to see the video. This will be great. This is super fun.
That's what Jewel said. So I don't know.
You know, one time when I had on the Her Talks, they, at the end of the episode, it actually was pretty amazing, but they led a beautiful, like, meditation where you went across the world and there was dove and there was, I mean, it was just beautiful. And then they ended with a chant, you know, with their chanting, which calls off to the Ein Sof at the very end at the top of the tree.
Yeah.
And he was trying to bring us, I think, to that place of oneness, because it was, as he was describing, you know, it was the connection to above and below and everything in between.
So I want to be clear, that was not where I was.
Okay.
I was in the void. I was in the nothingness.
In the nothingness, yeah.
The oneness is at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the space in between, right?
Wow.
And so I have been in the state of oneness, and that's a blissful, ecstatic state.
Right.
This was not that.
It was not that.
No, it was very different.
So was it a dark place? I mean, did you feel like you could get lost in that space?
Yeah, if I had stayed a lot longer and didn't know how to bring myself back, I could have disintegrated. Yeah.
Well, that's so interesting, Kelly. What about people who have like severe mental illness where they're, you know, maybe they're stuck in that void space?
Well, there's a lot of ways that that can happen. I actually worked with a client years ago when I was still back in Boston, and her son had been in a coma for 4 years. He had gone in when he was 13. He was 17 at the time she contacted me, and he had been hospitalized in a coma for that whole time. And nobody knew why. He just didn't wake up one day. So I went in and talked to his spirit and found that he had been possessed, and that the entity had shoved him out of his body and he couldn't get back in. And so I pulled him back into his body, but it'd been 4 years since he'd been in his body, so he didn't really know how to operate it anymore. And so I reattached him into his body, and I told her, I said, look, it's going to take him 2 or 3 weeks to really sort of have his spirit integrate back into his body because he's been out for so long. I said, but, you know, in 2 to 3 weeks, he should wake up. And I think it was just over 2 weeks later, he did. He woke up. Yeah.
It's a miracle.
So, well, I mean, he was potentially a very powerful shaman. And they came and got to him before he could come into his power. And so
how did he go into the coma on Earth? Like, what happened? Was it like an accident?
No, somebody possessed him.
And he just went into a coma? A healthy, like 13-year-old boy?
If you are possessed and shoved out of your body and locked out of your body, you can't get back in. And so there's nothing to run your body. But your silver cord isn't cut, so you're still alive. But if you can't get back in,
right,
then you're going to be in a coma. That's how that works.
Oh my God, Kelly. How is he doing now? Do you know?
I don't know. Yeah, it's been years. So I have no idea. I also had another experience of shifting my energy. So years ago, I did a retreat, right? We did a 3-day retreat. A friend of mine was thinking about coming. She's multiple personality. And she was like, I'm a big person. I don't know if you guys can hold me. Okay. And now she and I were on Skype, so I couldn't see myself, right? I could only see her. But the minute she said, I don't think you're big enough to hold me, I went, and I shifted into 18 dimensions at once, right? And I looked at her and I was like, big enough? And her eyes went wide as saucers. And she's sitting there going, oh my God, you are physically glowing. And I'm like, I am. I couldn't see it because I couldn't see myself on Skype, right? Because they didn't have picture in picture back then. And I don't know if they do now. I don't use it anymore. But so she's like, yes, big enough. I trust you can hold me. I'm like, okay. Collapse back down. Yet another thing I did that I didn't know I could do. So that was another fun thing.
Kelly, did I ever tell you about how there's been like several experiences I've had over the years podcasting where I saw people's face shift?
That happens a lot.
Does
that's
it?
Actually, oh yeah, that's actually, there's, you can teach people how to do that. It's just a matter of staring at someone and letting your eyes soften and then not holding on to their structure. Because what you're seeing when you see their face shift is you're seeing past lives. And so the face will shift rather dramatically sometimes.
Yeah, I sat here and drew the lady for the rest of the interview, and thank God I had Mandy then, so she kept going because I was like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then what I end up discovering is that I started to pay attention. This is kind of what I do is, you know, experience, pay attention, figure it out. But the next two times it happened, something happened before the interview.
Oh, yeah.
I got super tired. Like never, I was awake like I am right now, 10 minutes before the interview, could not stay awake so much that I had to set my alarm for 10 minutes both times. Yep. And then after the interview, got my energy back, but something was weird. And both times they changed right in front of me.
Okay. Well, that may have been possession issues.
And they turned into reptilian looking things.
Yeah. You gotta love the aliens. Yeah.
It was weird.
Aliens.
And they didn't stay. They went in and out. The last two times it happened, it's happened like four or five times, but the last two people I told.
There is more alien influence happening right now. And I don't know if I mentioned the Arcturan healing thing that happened. When I had a student, Kathy and I had a student that we were working with who decided instead of coming to a retreat that we had for the students that we were working with, which she was supposed to come to, she was like, no, I have to go to this Arcturan healing thing instead. And we were like, look, we honor your choice to not come to the event, but please don't go to that. Because we both had really bad omens about it. We were just like, yeah, it's a bad idea. Don't do it. Right.
Okay.
Of course, she went anyway. And so she came back and she had actually had alien implants that ended up in her as a function of the Arcturan healing work. So I don't know if the person running it didn't know because part of the implants were that they didn't know. Right. Or she knew. I don't know. But that was why Kathy and I had such bad experiences, because our student came back going, I'm having these problems. We're like, oh, let me take a look. Took me three times to get all of the implants out because they were in multiple dimensions.
So yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I feel like it is weird right now. I don't know if we've shifted realities or something.
Something's going on. The last week has been a bear, man. I don't know about you, but everybody I talk to is freaking exhausted for the whole week.
I've been hearing this, but I've had the best week of my life.
Wow. Good for you. What are you doing? Because I need some of that. Everybody else I know is just under it. And we're just being rolled around like in a tumbler for rocks or something. I don't know. It's just
a lot of weird things have happened.
I can do to get through each day this week. Last week I had a great week, but this week has been just a bear. I don't know.
I mean, honestly, it's been really weird.
I'm going to take you up to the level of experience and say nothing is good or bad. It just is. It's the old story, right? From Chinese culture. It's the sun is plowing a field with their horse and the horse goes lame and the neighbor goes, oh, what terrible luck. And the father says, we'll see. And so the next day, the son is plowing the fields and pulling the yoke himself, and he breaks his leg. And they're like, oh, what terrible luck. And the father says, we'll see. Next day, the army comes through town, is conscripting all able-bodied men, and they don't take the son because his leg is broken. The neighbor goes, oh, what great luck. And the father goes, we'll see. You know, it's just things aren't good or bad. They just are, right? And you can just be with your experience rather than having to figure out if it's good or bad.
You know, I did a QHHT session with Jennifer Mitchell. And one of the things I discovered in that thing was when I looked down at my feet, I did not have feet.
Well, that's a problem. It's hard for grounding.
They were webbed. And I had webbed hands.
Oh, so you had feet. They were just webbed. They weren't feet, but they were webbed feet. Yes.
You said nothing good and nothing bad. Don't judge me.
I'm not judging. The thing you have to understand about judgment is simply resistance.
Well, when I was judging myself, for sure.
When you judge yourself or others, you are engaging in resistance because it is a way to avoid looking at your own stuff.
Oh, yeah, I didn't want to. I was like, you got to get me out of here quick.
I do right. not want to be in this skin. It's yeah. scaly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did not. I was very uncomfortable in that space. And she did, because I almost came out of hypnosis completely at that point.
Wow.
And I was under for a good 2 hours.
Wow. All right, then.
Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I don't know, for some reason, I just feel like it's all connected. And I don't, you know, like you were just saying, we are multidimensional. So in all of our past lives and all of our, you know, probabilities, we are still them.
In our past now. Lives and our future lives, because we are all in them right now. So we are in the eternal moment of now, and we are all everyone. So we're all having all of these experiences at yes. the same time.
I agree.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's more than the human brain can comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one of the things that we talk about is this idea that you need to allow yourself to cultivate an ability to be with what is.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you can cultivate the ability to be with what is without having to understand it, that's oh. when you start to get more of the secrets of the universe. Because once you start to have to understand it, your brain kicks in and tries to control the flow of information, and it shuts it down to what the brain can process. You have to be willing to let go of the understanding and step into the beingness, right? Mm-hmm. This is why I talk to people about, you know, the heart chakra up is the process of stripping away your identity until you become nothing and you become one with everything. And then the heart chakra down is ability to accept and receive everything without judgment, without having to understand it, but to just be with it until you become uh-huh. everything and you become one with everything, right? And so this is the, most people go the heart chakra up route, and most Western traditions and even a lot of the Eastern traditions teach that route, but very few traditions actually teach the heart chakra down. And that's where all the shadow work happens. That's where all of the beingness comes into being. And so, you know, this is, it plays into the law of attraction, because we attract what we are being. What you focus on expands. So that's your intention that you put out, but you attract what harmonizes with your beingness. And so when you can shift your energetic beingness, now you have the ability to attract more clearly what it is that you desire, because you can put your energy into vibrational harmony with what you're choosing. That's one of the reasons why they say your income will be the average of the 10 people you spend the most time with, because you're energetically in training with them, and therefore your energy will shift and will bring in or let go of, you know, income to make yourself even with the people you spend time with.
Even though you're saying you don't like chase after the understanding, yeah. once you clear and let go, that understanding does come, but it doesn't come from thinking about it and trying to seek it.
Correct. Yeah. So, okay. So what you're doing in that space is you are just allowing things to be. It's, think of it like, Kathy uses this analogy all the time. She says that the way she meditates is that because she has an active brain, is that she thinks of herself as sinking down below the surface of a river and watching the river go by. Right. And that's kind of the way I'm talking about, right? It's you're sitting, you're in the soup of it, right? You're in the water and you're watching things go by, and you're not attached to them. You're not judging them. You're just going, oh, that's cool. Look at that. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay. Oh, something else. There it goes. You know, and you're just, that's the level of attachment you have to it is, oh, okay. And it's like that. It works in meditation, but it also works in this process as well. Because what you're doing is you're allowing yourself to experience things that you maybe don't have words for. You don't have an experience of. You don't have a concept for. The thing that I find most spiritual practitioners in the beginning of their practice, the thing that I find that they all really get attached to, I have to know it. I have to understand it. I have to, grok it in fullness, right? I'm like, I could get it all. You know, I had one woman who insisted that I could not possibly be talking to my spirit guides if I didn't know their name. And I'm like, lady, I have been talking to these same people for my entire freaking life. I know their energy signature, which is better than their name.
Right. I know the lady at the grocery store. I don't know her name, but I see her every day. I interact with her every day.
Yeah. They're like, you can't possibly be talking to them. And this is what I'm talking about, is this ego stuff that gets in the way. Right.
Yeah.
For sure. I was talking about this with the spirit numbers on my podcast and about the master numbers and stuff. I'm like, you know what? The numbers don't matter. The numbers are not relevant. I see all these people going, oh, this number means this and that number means that. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's just spirit trying to get your attention. You know, stop. You're missing the point of the communication. Communication is not the number. The communication is your guides going, the numbers are the, they are not the freaking message.
Yeah. Right?
You know, but that's what happens, is that you get, when you're in the beginning, you don't know, you're disoriented. Most of us come into this work through trauma.
And it's so surprising too. You know, you're like,
so surprising. Yeah. Right. And so we're like, oh, I have to understand it. I have to know it. I have to. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying don't figure it out, but I will say this, when I first really started to wake up, which was right around when I was 27, 28, I started to really wake up at that point, and I started to get information, and I took a moment and I was like, oh, I'm going to go look this up. And I'm like, no, I am not going to go look this up. I am going to allow my intuition to tell me what I need to do. Because if I start to look this up, I am going to micromanage and control freak it into the ground. Yep.
Because it's going to end up being someone else's theories and everything.
Oh my gosh.
I had to do that throughout my entire Sophia journey. People kept saying, oh, you got to read this book. Nope. I'm like, because I don't want anyone to influence this experience, because I got to see what it is. And it's got to be my truth. I don't care how she received it. Like, I literally am going through this. And it really was a very inward journey. There was a lot of solitude because I didn't know how to explain it. What I was going through, I didn't know enough to talk about it really. And I didn't want to be influenced.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I looked at. A roommate at the time who was very much a sage, you know, he was Mr. Research Everything, know it all sort of thing. And so I would say, I want to do this. And he's like, well, that's appropriate. And I'm like, why? But I'm like, I also want to do that. He's like, oh, you know, I'm like, and I want something else too. He's like, you want this. And I'm like, I don't know what that is, but we'll go out in the woods and we'll figure it out and I'll tell you what I want. And he said, yep, that's what it was. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, why?
That's beautiful too, because it's like giving you validation, you know, from outside, but it's still, it's like, oh, well, I mean, if that's what it is, yes, but this is what it is for me. But there was a lot of validation, you know, that came that I found was amazing. You know, I'm like, whoa, that's a thing. You're right. Our brain wants to take over. And it wants to make sense out of everything, and it wants to know more, and it wants the proof and all the things. And I really, honest to God, feel like prior to probably about 2 years, I used to give credit to all the archangels or spirit guides and all that for like seeing the twos. I used to always give the credit away. And now feeling that in my experience that it was my higher self actually that was leading me through at least the last 2 years, I can say for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's usually a combination of the two regardless. So it's usually your guides and your higher self.
Which is all one anyways.
Which is all one anyways, yeah. That's all good.
It's such a journey. It's so fun, isn't it?
I know, right? I don't know if I've been on here since I moved to Panama, have I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Panama shut down because of protests. Yeah, like they shut all the major roads down. Protests across the roads and not allowing traffic to get through. Rocks across all the roads. So we didn't have any gasoline in the entire region. There was no gasoline to be had. But before that, we bought from one of the bootleggers because there were guys who were driving to Costa Rica, which is like 2.5 hours away, and they would fill up in Costa Rica and then drive it back over here and sell us gas for $10 a gallon.
So you bootlegged gas?
Yeah, we bootlegged gas. So it's so funny though, because people here, the gringos here, are like, you know, all the expats are like they're people who are flipping out and leaving the country because they're like, oh, I've got my go bag packed and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, I lived in the US up until last year, and I had to leave because I could feel the end of the country coming, and I wanted nothing to do with being there when it happened.
You sure did.
And I needed to get out of the energy, right? I'm here, and the energy, they call the energy. So I'm on the side of a mountain. I'm on the side of a volcano, right?
Whoa.
And they actually have a name that they call the energy here. They call it Tranquilo because it's so tranquil, right? And my Tranquilo has not been disrupted by all of
right?
this. It's an inconvenience. It's not a problem. Right. Right. And all these people are going, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, drama. Enjoy your drama, because that is drama.
Yeah.
Because I do not feel this country falling apart. This,
yeah,
I
sure know like.
What it feels like. I've been there recently. This ain't it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's scary. It feels like, almost like, you know, when there's a table that's got a really wobbly leg. And it's like, if we don't fix it, it might break. You know, I hate to say that I like to just stay in my bubble, in my tranquilo, but this is my health too. If I allow myself absolutely. To be absorbed with all of the negativity, I let them win and I become a part of the problem.
Correct. Yeah. The best thing that we can do for the country, aside from voting, right, is to opt out of the misery.
Yeah.
Because what you focus on expands. And so if you are in the energy of it, especially if you're somebody who's energetically aware and energetically potent, then as you focus on the misery, as you focus on the upset, as you focus on the drama, as you focus mm-hmm. on the actuality of, you know, horrible things happening in the world, it expands.
Yeah.
You got to cut that stuff out, right? Mm-hmm. You can't.
Lowers your vibration.
We can't afford to do that. We have to hold the other side of the coin. We have to hold the positivity.
That's part of our purpose.
I was incapable of doing that where I was. I just couldn't. I couldn't find my way back to it.
Yeah.
And it's been really interesting because, you know, we were talking that I'd lost 35 pounds since I got here, and that I'm just generally happier. People are saying I'm aging backwards. It's like,
I was going to say, you look really good and you're glowy.
Yeah. So that's because I am no longer living in the angst and the upset, and I can, you know, relax.
You're free. You're like,
oh my God. Totally, totally better. And my body is better, and my acid reflux is gone, and my
that's crazy.
Body is not inflamed all the time. Now, part of that's the food that I'm consuming. I'm eating a lot more vegetables and fruits here, and, you know, they're higher quality food because I'm getting it fresher and all the things, but I'm also just happier.
Are you planning on ever doing retreats there?
Oh, I'm absolutely doing retreats here.
That just sounds amazing. Maybe I'll try to come.
Yeah,
because I would love to, you know, be with you and be in your energy physically and see.
Well, and that's really where I'm at my best, right? Is because I can entrain with people and you can, you know, it's that whole, you know, you get things through a download sort of thing, right? Your energetic connection raises the person's vibration because it just does, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've been wanting to do a retreat here more for people who are further along in their journey. You know, it's not going to work for the beginners. The beginners are probably more likely to do well with the Embrace Your Inner Valkyrie one, because that's a focus and then intent, and they don't really have enough knowledge to be able to come to something that's more free form. And, you know, I'll have some things set up for that. We'll do probably a spiritual canoe where everybody journeys together and then comes back with a vision and all of that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there'll be cool stuff. Right. And I'm probably going to teach some sneaky magic or something, you know, we'll see. But
a few years ago when I first had you on, you told me that it was going to happen with Reiki, and it sure did.
Yep. And that's what I'm saying, is that, you know, eventually everything gets constraining. And so it's better to have something that can be an activation point or a, you know, something that brings people together. And when you put people who are further along in their journey together, they'll activate each other just from conversation. You know?
Ooh, I want that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So that's the piece that I'm thinking about for this one, is that I really want to do that. You know, Kathy and I will do the other one too, but I want to do the one that's for people who, you know, you get to a certain point where you go to beginner events and you bounce off the ceiling if they're any good, or, you know, you're sitting there going, well, I could have taught this and probably taught it better. Or the worst case scenario is that they do something that's energetically unsafe, and now you're jumping in and managing the energy to keep everybody else safe, and you're now no longer a participant. You're now a facilitator who's unpaid.
Holding space and pretend.
Right, exactly. I've had that happen so many times.
Bringing in your 18 dimensions of Kelly.
Yeah. Just like, really? Okay.
Wow. No, your retreat is going to be, everyone go around and share your gifts, and Kelly's going to be like sitting up there about 5 feet high as she... And what's your gift next?
But I mean, everybody's stuff, everybody's learned something different, right? And you know, I know a lot of stuff, but there's people out there who know stuff I don't know, right? That's just the nature of the beast. So there's no way anybody can know everything, you know, unless you're immortal. There's no time.
God, you're so right, Kelly. I find that you probably are too. We're always in like in a role, you know, usually teacher student or sometimes even opposite. And very rarely do a bunch of us who are at the same level get together. It sounds like Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts. Tell everybody where they can find you, Kelly.
My website is kellysparta.com, K-E-L-L-E. That's just E. Yeah. Sparta.com. And you can find my podcast at spiritsherpapodcast.com. Sherpa is S-H-E-R-P-A. So, or you can find it at Spirit Sherpa on any podcast player.
Yep. It's a good one.
On the homepage of my website, there is a Boundaries for Empaths download that is free. Mm-hmm. If you are an empath, you need that.
Mm-hmm.
Please, please, please download it, because it will change your life. But only if you open it and actually do the exercise. Okay. I can't tell you how many people are like, oh yeah, I downloaded that. I'm like, did you do it? They're like, no. I'm like, if you don't do the exercise, it won't help you. But if you do, it can change your life. So
we need that. Yeah. Right now.
Yeah. I mean, so important right now. Absolutely so important right now. I mean, I can't even tell you how the empaths are really taking it in the chin right now. So it's just,
I mean, whether you watch it or not, you can feel it.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And it's all around you too. Right. So it's just, I know that in Richmond where I was, it was so prevalent in the atmosphere that I was retuning my wards, my protections on my house to try and get the energy out.
Yeah.
To not have it like coming through my walls. Right. So I think it depends on where you live. If you're more rural, you're probably better off. But in the cities, it can be quite overwhelming.
Well, and this next year is going to be a shit show.
Totally. Come to Panama. We have cookies.
No, I want to go to that void space we were talking about. I might be in there until then.
We'll have gas soon. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming back on. And I appreciate you very much. So much
I'd
wisdom.
Love to come. I love talking to you. You and I have such a great time every time. So.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Kelly Sparta. All right. See you later. Thank
Good
you.
To see ya.
Thanks for listening to Sense of Soul podcast. And thanks to our special guests for joining me. If you want more of Sense of Soul, check out my website at www.mysenseofsoul.com, where you can work with me one-on-one or help support Sense of Soul podcast by donating to my coffee fund. Thanks for listening.